handful.
Yep. In the seat.
All right. We're still...
preaching too hard.
Yeah, we're still studying song. I mean, Take No Thought. Anybody have any musings about Take No Thought yesterday after the Bible study?
We studied it some in Rutledge Bible study last night. And I think that be careful for nothing is the same word, isn't it?
All right, we're going to go there in a minute. Gary?
I thought about it last night. I didn't think I talked to anybody.
Well, do you still think I don't, that I think?
Yeah. Take a vote. Ask the whole community. Ask the whole community. There's just something about that that doesn't, I don't have settled with me yet. And it's really not even about whether you do or don't. It's the concept of what includes thinking.
Thought includes thinking. Using your conscious mind is thought. The conscious mind is evil above all things, and who can know it?
You say using it. That makes a little more sense. I understand that. As opposed to thoughts happen and you repent of them. But maybe what saying that isn't clear to me is you've stopped using your mind for personal gain or
for anything.
For anything, and yet I can't imagine not having thoughts.
Well, again, I forget me. Let's look at the scriptures. Take no thought. It's not very, there's no wiggle room. Let's go to Matthew 6. Start in verse 22. No, let's start in 25. Well, no, no. We need
in verse 6.
Huh?
Go to verse 6. What it talks about when you're praying. I mean, even in prayer, there's thought.
How?
If I pray for you, I don't do it with no platform, no motivation, no reason. I would pray something about what I perceive in your life, or Peter, or anybody. But there's some activity of the mind that takes place even in prayer. So to take no thought means you can't even pray. I mean, if you're going to push it to that level and there's no wiggle room, then how do you pray? But not have some thought. I know you can pray, or you can abandon self, and God prays through you. That might be more.
The thing that happens, all I can do is talk to what happens to me. Most of the time, when I pray, I speak in tongues. I don't just sit around and pray. Then, if some need comes to mind. I believe it's brought there by the Holy Spirit. Then that's what I pray for. Now.
And is that not a thought? I mean, you don't consider that a thought?
No, I believe that it's the Holy Spirit bringing that person to our attention. But it comes from emptiness, not from thinking about it. Like right now, the most probably now, after Shannon died, the most important person in the body is Beth. Because her ministry is intercessory prayer. And I've talked to her an incredible amount about it. The whole idea of intercession is not, it's not a, our understanding of intercession. It's, we don't make a list, a prayer list, and sit down, well, okay, these are the people I'm going to pray for. It all depends on who and what is brought to your attention by the Holy Spirit. Because most of the time you pray, you don't even know what you're praying for. And she has become, well, she's fulfilling the office very, very, very completely. And it made sense to her then of what happened to her. Because she could have never done that had not these things happened, the stroke and the whole thing. Now, therefore, she no longer resents the idea that she had a stroke and she's wheelchair bound. Now it's become a great joy. Now, again, with her, I said, look, don't sit around and think about who you're going to pray for. You abandon yourself, and in that abandonment, the Holy Spirit will bring it to your attention. Now, the whole idea of guidance while we're in the wilderness, we remember, it's all about location of sphere. And it has nothing to do with learning, it has nothing to do with anything except repentance. Unfortunately, most Christians today are still in the world, they're still in Egypt, and the only thing they know is their sin is forgiven. And that's great. And then they never get out of that because they don't see that their baptism is a certification of their death. And they sit around and use their mind, they work at regular jobs, they whatever they do. And that's fine. That's not our business to judge that they shouldn't do that. I'm concerned with what the function of this body is. And it's different. We're the only group in the world that I know of, Christian group, that celebrates each one of the Jewish feasts. There's a few that celebrate Passover. There's a few that try to understand and some kind of celebration of Pentecost, but they don't do it like we do. And even though up until in the later part of the 3rd century, where we have Jerome and other major figures in the Christian church, they're all talking about keeping the feasts. Now, again, for some reason, it's not being done, but for some reason we started it and it becomes a great joy. But it doesn't have anything to do, it's not an indictment against anybody that doesn't do it. And so because of the feast, we can see the progression of apprehension. We can see being in the world, and then being, no matter when a born-again experience happened, it is at Pentecost. I mean, at Passover. That's your Passover. Now, there's then a whole bunch of people are still in the wilderness. They're wandering around in the wilderness, waiting for something. They don't know what they're doing, but they're waiting for something. A few are in the promised land. That's called the young adults. They are strong. They've overcome the evil one, and they. Well, let's read it. Let's go to 1 John. This is in here for a purpose. 1 John chapter 1. No, chapter 2. I'm sorry. We're starting verse 12. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. That's the world. That's all they know. I write unto you, fathers, because you've known him that is from the beginning. Or you actually doesn't say that. It says you've known him from the beginning. The only one that can be in a father position is the one that sees that he's been with the Father since the beginning, because his real self was no longer him. It's Christ in him in that form. Then I brought into you young men because you've overcome the wicked one. That's the ones that are in the promise, I mean in the promised land. But I brought unto you little children, that's Pidon, teenagers. That's in the wilderness. And the only thing they know, the only thing that keeps them, Bible study doesn't help. Nothing helps. Except you have known the Father. And we've got a lot of people in that place. A lot of kids. But they've known the Father. And I've written, past tense, I have written unto you fathers, because you've known him, and that is in italics. It isn't there. You've known him from the beginning. And I've written unto you young men, and this one is the ones that have reached maturity but haven't yet become fathers. I write unto you young men. Excuse me. I have written unto you young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. Now, to overcome the wicked one, you have to take no thought. Because the wicked one is the thought process. Now, those are the positions. The world, the wilderness, the promise, and the mercy seat. It has nothing to do with how much you study. It has to do with the depth of your repentance. And that's really what we're going to be studying now in Luke. And it talks about it. The way is getting narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower. But as the way gets narrower and narrower, your judgments about other people become less and less. That's the mystery. What?
Just a response to that. Your judgments become less because you start saying that God is in all and you see Christ in
him. Right, and
you
what you
judge him after the flesh.
Right. You see this, you see the sovereignty of God. And that's
so you're not bothered by or aggravated by things that used to
right.
work you out.
And that's, then again, I'm not giving you kudos, but I am a little bit. In the last year and a half, you went farther than you did in the 39 years before that.
Preparing what?
Huh?
The way it was being prepared.
Yeah, there's no, and it's no condemnation. Again, the interchanges that we've had and that sometimes get a little heated are the best thing that could happen for other people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think so.
All right, now let's go back to Matthew 6. Start in verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Excuse me. Yeah, feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Excuse me. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all those things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and there's no second. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. That's an incredible group of scriptures. And every translation, and I've looked at but every one I can find, except King James, says, don't worry, don't be anxious. That's not what it says. It says, take no thought. Now let's go to Philippians.
But it is also specific. It seems like take no thought, and then it discusses the things of the world and the flesh.
Well.
And so it's take no thought for these things, I will provide for you. But that.
There's a principle of exegesis that's always true. If something covers the basic things that you need to live, food and drink and clothing, then it's obvious then that you take no thought for anything else.
Take no thought of God.
All right, remember what we're doing. We're cleaning the cholesterol out of the spiritual channel. Preaching the cross is what Winslow did to your blood vessels. It cleanses, it gets rid of all of the chelates. That's the word I was thinking, chelation. It chelates all the crap out of the pipe between you and God. So that the point, the one that is, it's the same thing that happened with Christ. It's the vessel, what he did when he went through, after his baptism, and the temptation in the wilderness, boom, then that channel was cleared. So it was only the moment, there's only the eternal now, ever and always. Now, that's all you do is God. I mean, it's not that you.
Yeah, I can.
Excuse me, I got too excited there. But that's the goal. That's where we are. That's why the zeal has to be there to get there.
In response to what Gary said, so you don't think about God. Well, I'm remembering that scripture where it says, if you're going to think on these things, think on
whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are a good report.
In other words, think about
that's Christ. The only one that meets those standards is Jesus Christ.
Right, yeah.
Or God. Let's go to Philippians.
That's what I was thinking something last night, and that was it. People of how the scriptures testify of him. And part of these conversations we have almost taken away from revealing him to trying to figure out how we live. And even when I ask the question, well, what about God? It's almost a smart-aleck question. Because in your abandonment, thoughts may happen of God, but you still don't. To overcome the sentence, I don't think, well, I'm going to think about God and then I'll be good. It's all kind of bullshit.
It's part.
All the mind trying to find some place of righteousness.
Yeah, and any part of the mind is considered, it's the carnal mind.
Yeah.
And it's enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. It's the true meaning of freedom.
Absolutely.
All right, so let's go to Philippians. Now, you can see why. I mean, my God, that's why the Greeks, I mean, what was it say in 1 Corinthians? I'm going to go there real quick before we go to look at
Greeks seek a sign.
Yeah, but it says, we preach Christ crucified.
Where did you go to?
Well, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Now, those aren't talking about the nations. It's talking about that type of mind.
Yeah.
To the Greeks, foolishness. To the Jews, a stumbling block. And that's
the Greeks seek after wisdom, and the Jews are stuck in the law.
Well, that's the two kind of people. I mean, it's the law can be cause and effect. The law can be what some harebrained scheme you have, or you know, it's the law is nomos. It just means. It means how a thing works or how you think a thing works. That's what the law is. Now, that's the word for law. And that's different than the law of Moses, because the law of Moses came from the mouth of God, and its purpose was to drive you into a place where you see that it's impossible for you to do it. It requires a death. But if you don't have the integrity to you still, you know, you're playing. These game things that people, whatever, you know, the stuff that, yeah, that kind of crap. That's just a testimony of where your mind is. It's not the, that's all men. They live in a dream world. It's not reality. It's always trying. And if you do are a believer, and then you're still doing that, you're trying to take God far off. That's why I've always hated those things. Even the simple ones, like when Tom used to play Dungeons and Dragons, and you could put any character you wanted into. I told him put Jesus in it. And play it, and he had to kill Jesus the first day. Well, that Philippians. Verse 4, chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation, and the word moderation there is that word that means your continuance, your persistent continuance. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is here. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Whatever it is, the first place you go is always God. But it doesn't say you're always going to give what you ask for. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So you're always and ever aware. And then finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, the only thing that Paul asked people to follow him was his faith. And he wasn't ashamed to say, follow me. No, I haven't gotten there yet. I can't say that very often. But if I say it ever, it's the only thing anybody should follow about me. I mean, I'm an idiot. But you should follow the faith. but to be careful for nothing. Just abandon yourself into this mystery and let everything else go to hell. We didn't get very far. And the guidance, when you're still struggling with this, is what in Numbers 9, where if you got, what am I going to do about this? You do nothing.
I told my customer that yesterday. We got this huge job on Lakewood Boulevard about halfway through. She was a little skittish, and I said, and she's a believer, and I asked her if she'd ever heard that believers don't have to make decisions. Of course, the eyes get wide. But I explained that to her, and I think she understood. She said, that's good. She relaxed.
Yeah, I mean, it's the...
It's an amazing source of peace when you hear that. Roll everything
off
on the
problem.
Trusting God.
It doesn't, and it has, it's without regard to the outcome. Right? I mean, you realize they could have gone from where the Dead Sea, where they went across, they could have gone and reached Jerusalem. But from the time between Passover to Tabernacles.
40 days.
But it took them, no, not 40 days. That was to Pentecost.
Oh.
They had to go and get the law.
Yeah.
But then was the time between Pentecost and Tabernacles. But why? Why did they wander around in the wilderness? Because they had to shed the grave clothes of the Egypt and the grave clothes of religion. And the only reason the plagues came, remember, was not because they were punishing the Egypt. They got in to see Egypt, but his people had adopted the gods of Egypt.
Yeah.
He wasn't punishing Pharaoh. He's always and ever only concerned with the seed. First it was the seed of Adam. Then to protect that, he destroyed the world. Then it was the seed of Abraham. To protect that, he destroyed men, women, and children and everything. And then, now it's to protect Christ, the seed of Christ. But it's always about the seed. Remember, I talked about many years ago. I used to talk about God will kill your dog or do whatever is necessary to protect that seed.
Yeah. I just think of the scripture: "By grace are you saved through faith, and not of your own."
Amen.
And this kind of goes back to thinking you can't think your way into the kingdom.
If you try to use your what you call your mind, your consciousness, then you're stuck. That's why, I mean, I don't even against Baptists or more than anybody else, but I visited a lot of Baptist churches. Every day, every message, every sermon was the same. Go out and save your neighbors. Now, I guess that's fine, but it's the merest of beginnings. It isn't, and yet every place, every day, I mean every Sunday, it was the same message. Everybody, close your eyes, bow your head.
Let guilt take you over.
Yeah, and then they record how many conversions they had, and that becomes the basis of their existence. That's the whole of Trinity Broadcasting.
Yep.
And it's an abomination to God. All right. Anything else? Take no thought. Take it, big guy.